section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
86 Productions.
The best podcast providing the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. On today's show, we have Aaron, Roger, and Doug to join Anders. We discuss this month's view from the turnbuckle. So, Aaron, the biggest news, WWE Hall of Fame legacy inductees. Can you name a few of them?
So it's been a little while since we recorded, but WWE had announced their legacy inductees, which are people that apparently they don't want to put a huge spotlight on, but it's people that had done some work for them in the past. And so three pretty prominent name ones. Bruiser Brody is, of course, a really big name one. Wahoo McDaniels, which was really big in the NWA and WCW. And then Luna Vachon, which was actually a little bit of a surprise to me because she did a lot of work with WWF in the late 80s, early 90s. And for whatever reason, they just wanted to put her into a legacy induction. So either way, though, I don't know why they didn't get a proper induction, but we thought that we should at least report that these people are now part of the WWE Hall of Fame.
And Roger, did you think that there's not, of the three that we're talking about, do you think there was one that stood out more than that they maybe should have had more of a proper induction before they passed?
Luna Vachon's the one that bothers me. Bruiser Brody and Wahoo were pretty far before our time. I think Bruiser Brody, I want to say, didn't he die in the 80s even?
I think it might have been like 89, 90-ish.
Yeah, so I mean, it's like, that's quite some time ago. I know the name Wahoo McDaniel from having read some autobiographies, but never saw him wrestle. So Luna was the one. Also, to a point that Aaron had made, we were talking about how they're going to run into people shortly. So why are you stealthily putting people in the Hall of Fame? Like, you kind of need to be just letting people get their shot anyway, because you're going to be other people within the next 5 to 10 years, in my opinion, unless you start inducting current people.
And Doug, is there like any person that maybe that they missed for the legacy, or do you think that, you know, the three that we're talking about, that those were solid ones?
I don't. And to everybody else's point in the fact that they are going to run out of people soon, or they're going to start putting in people that I have no need to be in the Hall of Fame. I thought it was kind of a surprise to see Luna on there, just in the aspect of, you know, they seem pretty advocated of, like, let's advertise all the women and all that they've done in the industry. So to have her kind of go in as a low key, you know, around the corner kind of thing seems a little weird to me.
All right. So we had some sad news. Turns out that Ashley Massaro passed away at the age of 39. We don't know much that's going on yet, but condolence goes out to her daughter and her family. Something that happened on Raw was that WWE introduced a new title. Doug, what did you think about this new title?
This is exactly the rejuvenation that they absolutely needed to have on the network, for the network aspects and the Raw aspects and the SmackDown aspects. And I know this is a podcast, and I hope you all can hear the sarcasm out of my voice. But this is, I mean, it's something. It's a cartoony thing. It's a gimmick thing. Is it going to be enough to raise some viewership? Maybe. I mean, we've already had three champions so far, and we're not even through a full 24 hours of it being announced.
I defer my worth me speaking about that's that.
I think we all had the same reaction of it. It looks like a toy. Like, it really does. It looks like something you'd get. You remember when Damian Mizdow had the Walmart tag team titles? Like, yes. Legitimately, they were from Walmart. Like, they were the kids' toy ones. That's kind of what this looks like. Like, what graphic designer did they pay? And they're like, come up with a really cool design. And they're like, okay, green circle 24/7 W, done. Like, it seems like they turned in like the worst possible work, and they're like, that's fine, that'll sell. I don't know. That aside. I thought the hardcore title, I remember when WCW had done it, and they were trying to play off ECW. It was like, oh, okay, I guess it'll be just, you know, a title for hardcore matches. And then WWF came around and they said, all right, we're going to do it, but we're going to have a 24/7 role. It's like, oh, that is genius, you know, like, and it makes it fun. And even the skits they had on Raw were really funny, where R-Truth tricked Robert Roode so that way he could pin him. Like, that's funny. Like, and that'll make it entertaining. they can do a lot of great stuff with this. So title's terrible. The idea is good.
I agree. So WWE had a pay-per-view finally, and it was Money in the Bank. So Brock Lesnar won. And yeah, we'll just say that.
Let me ask you this real quick before you even get into that. I want to talk about just the idea. Like, it's been like 7 weeks, I want to say, since the pay-per-view, 6 weeks maybe. Do you think that was too long, or do you think it was good to have that length in between?
I'm glad they, because this is just like, for me, I needed a break from wrestling for a little bit, because I can watch NXT, I can watch 205 Live all day long, even NXT UK, I can watch that stuff all day long. But it seems like it's a chore to watch Raw, especially. SmackDown isn't as bad, but it's getting there. The break of the pay-per-views was nice just because of that. Just because WrestleMania, and I said it last time we recorded, I missed the main event because I fell asleep. That was not a joke. That really happened. Because I was so, like, bored. So, and it's sad because of the women, you know, the women put on a match, and I missed it because of that. But in the match, but WrestleMania, that match was good for a first time for women being main event. But having that break that we had, that actually, I prefer when they do stuff like this. I mean, you could get away with doing like 7-8 pay-per-views a year, realistically, especially because the whole point of doing the pay-per-view once a month, I still believe this, was because it was a revenue thing. So they would make money off it. They could charge more to go to that pay-per-view. So if that seat at a Raw is like $80, they could charge 160 and people will pay for it most of the time. So now that they took that break, I was happy. And like, now the next one is in what, like
two.
Yeah, I mean, well, yeah.
So the 2 weeks, there's another pay-per-view. At least we get an NXT pay-per-view. But having that break actually, I think, does help. It really does. Because I don't
think. So were you happy? So what I hear from you right now is that you were happy Brock Lesnar won the Money in the Bank.
I am not happy about that. That was because here's the other thing, too. So if he was the eighth person, they should have said something about that. I think like earlier on, like, hey, we're going to have someone replace him. We're going to have him come in later. They could have done that and it would have been okay. They never said that. And I guess that's the frustrating part, because you could say, okay, that means anyone from out in the back can run and get the briefcase. If no one's in that match, we'll say, let's say there are supposed to be eight people and Sami Zayn couldn't make it. So there's seven. Okay. But at the same time, it's kind of like, that was your plan. I don't care about Brock Lesnar. I really don't. If Brock Lesnar never appeared in a WWE ring again, I'd be okay. So I'm a little frustrated.
Follow-up point. Brock Lesnar doesn't give a crap about you.
Exactly.
Brock Lesnar doesn't give a crap about rules. Brock Lesnar doesn't give a crap about the announcers. Brock Lesnar does what Brock Lesnar does because he wants to. So if Brock Lesnar wants to be the eighth man, he will be the eighth man when he shows up, runs down, gets paid for a minute's worth of work, and walks out with a briefcase. And do you want to be the guy who tells Brock Lesnar he can't do it? Because let me tell you how that's going to end for you. Not very well.
You know, actually what I thought was going to happen? I knew that he won it, but when I watched it, I was like, it would be interesting if a fan actually ran in. Because I would like to see what happens to the fan. Because they would have to cut to black.
Live, gory murder.
Because Brock would be like, what'd you just do? Take off the glove and punch him once. And then he's down. And then he's like, I'm not done with you. Probably picks him up by his pants and throws him in the crowd. And everyone moves because they don't want to. They're like, nope, he can land. Oh, my chair. But yeah, so that happened. So Aaron, your thoughts on it?
I'm going to defer my time to Roger.
Brock Lesnar does what Brock Lesnar wants to do. So I actually like it, and here's why. It doesn't matter if Brock Lesnar's gone with this briefcase. It hurts nobody. There's really no harm in Brock having it. I'm pretty sure I know where he's going to cash in. It's a great idea if they're smart, and of course that means they won't. But every single heavyweight title match, be it the Universal Championship or the WWE Championship, should focus on, is Brock going to cash in? That's all you have to have the announcers talk about. When you're, you know, if it's Kofi versus Roman eventually, which I'm sure we'll get, you can talk about how in the back of your mind, you're concerned about how much do you want to put into this match because Brock could come out at any time and cash in. It's the best use of the Money in the Bank they've probably used since Ambrose. It's not only the right call, I'm glad they did it. Like, look, I would have nice to seen McIntyre or Balor, but let's be honest here. When's the last time the Money in the Bank winner has actually been done properly? You probably have to go back to Seth Rollins. So instead of wasting the case yet again, give it to the one guy who's actually going to be booked properly. And unlike Sheamus and unlike Corbin and unlike Strowman, his momentum isn't going to be killed by this. He's not going to be booked to lose every other match. He's going to look like a monster when he cashes in. And the pop is going to be loud. And the moment is going to be huge. And it's going to be something that we talk about because Brock Lesnar, despite Andy's reservations, matters. He's one of the few things that actually does matter in this company. So him having Money in the Bank means it matters.
I was conflicted with this in the aspect that I was still hoping for my pick, Sami Zayn, to come down and the Money in the Bank at the very end. However, I agree with Roger in the aspect of giving it to Brock Lesnar is not a bad thing in the fact that he can disappear. He can be away from TV and no one's going to care. But that moment that he does show up, it's going to be pretty big. And then he's going to get the title again. And then we'll have to wait until another big pay-per-view to see it being defended. I enjoy the fact that they are saying, too, that he's not necessarily going to go for the Raw title. He might even go for the SmackDown title. I hope that they keep it that way instead of I think they said tonight that he was going to announce next week which title he's going to go for. No, let's just keep it as a surprise for everybody. But no, it was a fun little swerve that I truly don't think harms anybody. And you can all go on from there.
And Doug, I think that you, in a way, you get like half a point, right? Because you picked Sami Zayn and it was the Sami Zayn spot, right?
Right.
It just happened to not be him. And so you keep your streak alive.
Brock Lesnar does not care about Doug's pick.
Brock Now that would have been great if you would have seen Brock Lesnar like tag Sami Zayn and say, I'm in.
Did Zayn got beat up backstage, right? He got like hung up by his ankles or something like that, I read.
Yes, it is unknown if that is actually Braun. Is it Bray Wyatt's character coming, or did Brock do that?
Paul Heyman.
Yes, because Paul Heyman could do that.
Swerve.
So, Andy, the other one was the women's Money in the Bank happened, of course, and the women's title matches happened as well. And these are kind of intertwined here. So Becky retained against Lacey Evans, but then she lost to Charlotte, who now is a 9-time champion. With those matches, were you happy with kind of how that went down? Were you happy the back-to-back for Becky, make her look strong, weak? What did you think?
I think if Bayley still had the women's tag title with Sasha, I think it would have been different because it would have been really cool. So they could have that thing where I'm the world champion, but I'm also the women's tag team champion. They could have done something with that. they could have done something with that, but that was the problem. They botched it. So that happened. But I was okay with how it ended up working out. So there really is nothing that I can say besides, okay, they did a good job here. I thought some of the spots for the women's match, yeah, they can't take some of the bumps. And Carmella, the whole like injury angle thing was stupid. I could have done without that. I think that that's been
they were trying to get sympathy, it seemed. And I don't think that she's that sympathetic of a character, right? If that was Bayley, like, yeah, you might get some more sympathy. But I don't know. I also don't care for that spot too much. Like, that's not one of my, you know, I think that's one of my like least favorite spots because I feel like they do that every year. And I don't know. I don't like that. I think that, you know, you do that like once every like few years, then it's like, oh, okay, that's fine. But every year is a little much.
Yep. How true.
I didn't really care for that. Pretty much sums up my feelings on Carmella's entire career. Yeah, I mean, honestly, it was a fine match. Like, the highlight of the night was Ember Moon hitting that ridiculous eclipse. Like, that was really cool to see. And even though they wisely turned it into a cutter because we don't want to kill Natalya, I thought the match was fine. The right person won. Like, I'm happy Bayley won. I'm happy Bayley cashed in. The only thing I think the women's, I guess I'm going to put off the three matches together. Lacey Evans didn't belong. Like, she just, I don't like her. Her finisher is terrible. It is a bad looking punch and it's called the women's right. That's stupid. It is dumb. Probably really inappropriate considering everything that's going on right now. But the weird money thing that she came out with doesn't make sense with her character, in my opinion. she's really not that good in the ring. Like, she's okay. She's not bad, but she probably should be doing women's tag matches right now while she's improving. And there are better people to have in that spot. Like, she should not have been wrestling Becky for her basic a title match, what, a couple months after her debut. That was a poor choice. I don't know. I'm done with this push of hers. I already suffered through this with Alexa. Alexa's a better version of her. Like, I don't need this. This is where Ember Moon should have gotten a title shot. This is where Nikki Cross, who's actually been entertaining, could have gotten a title shot. Lacey Evans, I'm done with. Use Asuka for all I care. Heaven forbid she show up on the show.
Or you could have had Dana Brooke do it.
Oh. If Brock Lesnar could F5 Dana Brooke, that would be my highlight.
You know, that's interesting because the picture you took with Dana. Oh.
I can't wait to get a picture of you in Triple H. Like, it will be the best thing.
Don't you already have one?
Yeah.
A live picture.
Live.
Yeah.
Doug, were you excited about Bayley's cash-in?
I was. I told you, everybody, through the little chat that we had during the week, this is exactly what I wanted to have happen. I wanted Charlotte to win, although I didn't pick her. I wanted Charlotte to win and then have Bayley come in and cash in. So I got my wish because WWE listens to me.
And I got my wish because Kofi retained against Kevin Owens, even though I kind of wanted Owens to win, but I don't want him to be a transitional champion. But he retains. You know, do you think that this was the proper place to put the match, though, Doug?
It was an all right match. It was a, it's a fine feud. Knowing the backstage stuff, this should have been Daniel Bryan, but we weren't sure if he was going to get cleared. I would have put some title match against Kofi before ruining the Kevin Owens welcome back, you're a babyface thing. I thought he was doing great in the new Big E kind of filling in for that. So it could have happened later on. It was going to happen eventually because we all know Kevin Owens works better as a heel than he does a face. So I have no problem him going heel again. I kind of have a problem with him coming back as a face and then ultimately going back to the heel right away. But it was a good match. You know, it served its purpose, and I don't think anybody was shocked that Kofi won.
Yeah, I don't think that many people really were. I think the problem was that this was like in the dead spot of the card. Like, they put it right before the main event, and I don't know about anybody else, but it felt like it was an IC title match. Like, that's the way it felt. And that's really unfortunate because, you know, it's the WWE title. I mean, this is the title, and Kofi earned that title. He definitely did. And I felt like they could have done a lot more around it. I felt like maybe there could have been some more sympathy at play for Kofi. You know, maybe even like in this spot here, this is where you have somebody else in there and you have Kevin Owens in Kofi's corner. Kofi wins and then Owens turns on him, you know, and that's what you do in order to set up the next feud, you know, to have it be a kind of a transitional feud in a way. I just felt like this, it's an okay match, but for what they were doing with it, it just didn't hit for me. And I don't know if I can really describe why. It really didn't hit.
It did hit because as much as I love Kofi Kingston, he's not a main eventer. That is just the hard truth. And when you see a match like this, Kofi's story was great going against Brian because there's a rehash of Brian versus Brian as the authority. But now that that story has concluded, Daniel Bryan was over like a main eventer. So he can carry a championship picture, even in lesser title matches against people like Kane. You're still invested in Bryan. The crowd reaction for Kofi is fine, but it's not main event level. I wouldn't say that his reaction when he came out was on the same level of Seth or AJ or Brock. He's a New Day member. Like, they even introduced him as a member of the New Day. They didn't introduce him from, you know, whatever city he resides in. And Kofi is a transitional champion. Like, I think most people realize while he's not losing here, he is not the face of SmackDown. He is not the top guy. He is essentially the 9 o'clock champion. And I like Kofi, but he was, you know, this is the danger when instead of building for months and months and months, you built basically from Elimination Chamber to WrestleMania. You got a cool moment, but you don't have a story.
And who would you have put in this spot against Kofi? Because you probably would want to put a main eventer, right? So who
would I would have put Braun Strowman in this spot.
Braun against Kofi?
I would
really
have put Kofi up against all the odds. I would have put him against a monster because I never was really expecting Kevin Owens to win. But if you put him, I mean, if Lars Sullivan didn't completely suck, he would also be good for this. But or Roman Reigns, like, you needed to put him against someone that we really believed was going to beat Kofi. because I believe Brian could beat Kofi at WrestleMania. I didn't for a moment, even when he hit the pop-up powerbomb. I just kind of sat there and was like, kick out. But I just never believed that Owens was going to win. If Strowman hits that running power slam, I believe he's going to pin him. So there's some interest, there's some odds, there's some sympathy. KO being in his corner would have made sense. If I was going to have KO turn, I would have had KO turn and cost Kofi the title. And basically the storyline would have been, you got what I deserved. Then they feud outside of the championship picture, because this was just a waste of Kevin Owens' return and heel turn. Like, ultimately, it meant nothing. And unfortunately, I think a lot of Kofi's feels are going to ultimately mean nothing for quite some time right now.
Interesting.
Yeah, but I bet Brock will end up cashing in on him, unfortunately. Because that would make sense, because that's why he won.
Wait, hold on. Actually, real quick, just ask the field. Andy, when do you think Kofi's going to lose the title? Like, before or after SummerSlam?
He'll lose it before.
Doug?
Before.
Roger?
If I had to put money on it, I would probably say before, but I'm 51-49 because there's a part of me that thinks he holds it until the first night that it shows up on Fox.
Okay.
I think you get Kofi versus Roman, and I think you get your cash in.
Okay.
And I think Lesnar wins the title the first night on Fox.
If Lesnar does not cash in at the next pay-per-view, then yes, that makes sense. Then I think it would go past SummerSlam. But it all depends on what happens, you know, in a few weeks is what it boils down to, at least to me. So
I'm thinking before. Like, I think it'd be a shock to have him lose that, like, stomping grounds or whatever, proving grounds or whatever the hell it's called.
That's pay-per-view.
I say you're going to have him lose. He'll lose it to some heel, and then Roman Reigns will get it, because I don't think they want Roman Reigns versus Kofi, because I don't think they want people booing Roman Reigns.
Oh, you just came back? Oh, boo.
Well, speaking of two people not being booed, we had the Universal title match, and we had Seth retain over AJ, and I think easily match of the night. And also, like, probably the main roster, probably their match of the year, I would even, you know, go so far to say. Doug, what'd you think?
I thought it was a great match, and I agree. This is easily in the top five of even for the whole year of any match, but definitely main roster's number one match of the year.
I would have this as the second main roster match of the year. I think Kofi over Bryan was better because it had a better story to it. Like, this was two really excellent guys fighting for a championship. Kofi versus Bryan was a fun culmination of basically Bryan being on the other end of the authority. While the story obviously petered out post-Mania, I think that match was better. But this was still 4.5 stars plus. Like, this was fantastic. I loved all the notes. Don't do this match again. This is the only thing that I'm concerned about. Do not do this match on Raw. Do not do this match on Stomping Grounds. This match should be a rematch at SummerSlam at the earliest, because it was fantastic. It left me wanting more. Let it simmer down. Let Seth move on to other challengers. Let AJ earn his way back to the top. And then when you have the second match, then AJ can reasonably win. Because the only downside is that I had no way, shape, or form that I think Styles was going to win, because Seth just conquered the Beast. There's no way that AJ is going to win a month in. And that's kind of why I didn't think AJ should have been wasted here, because this is where you put him over somebody who's just – Elias would have been a perfect spot here. Or somebody who's just – Lars Sullivan. Again, a guy who – I don't care if he wins. You're just seeing what he can do in the main event, because AJ is a guy that he should be headlining SummerSlam, should be headlining Money in the Bank back when he was in June, Survivor Series, Rumble, things like that. I still don't understand the booking of Braun Strowman, but I think Seth versus Braun here would have made a lot of sense too.
Yeah, so that's a Universal title picture. We also had the United States Championship bout happen, and that was quick because Samoa Joe got busted open, which I find weird because when it happened to Lars, they just let him continue, but Samoa Joe, you know, shows some color. All of a sudden, bam, we have to finish the match. Doug, did you even like the fact that there was a quick match for Samoa Joe? So it was like payback from WrestleMania?
No. I like to see Samoa Joe. I thought Samoa Joe should have won this one again. Not necessarily as easily as he did WrestleMania due to the fact that Ray was injured during WrestleMania, but this should have been Joe's time to just put him away and move on to a new feud. I don't mind the Ray-Joe feud, but it's just when Aaron was talking about how long it took from WrestleMania to get to Money in the Bank, and you say that it was refreshing. I agree that it was refreshing in the fact that we didn't have pay-per-views, but this is the problem I have. It's been 7 weeks, and we're still getting the rematches from WrestleMania.
Well,
that is all.
And there was also a rematch on Raw as well that they had. And remember, they said no more rematches.
Well, this isn't even a rematch, though. Like, this wasn't champion who lost. This was challenger who got choked out. Mm. It should have been done. Like, two, why did he even get another shot? So that whole rematch thing apparently just got forgotten. Continuity didn't exist. Also, Wally was being built to look like a killer, and something you have a severe lack of is dominant-looking heels, losing to Rey Mysterio right here. That doesn't make any sense. Also, do pinfalls not require shoulders to be down on the mat anymore? Am I missing something here?
And what could be, what, the second or third botched three count?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you botched the WrestleMania main event with the whole Ronda thing, and maybe that was intentional, who knows? But Joe was down for like a count at most. Like, everything about that made no sense to me. So I don't even acknowledge Rey as the U.S. champion. This match, as far as I'm concerned, is still going. Joe's probably going to choke him out in a minute and he gets his rightful championship back because this is a joke. And this is the second time he's been screwed by officiating. I hope he just starts attacking referees.
Well, and just real quick, the biggest issue I had was that's fine. Like, the ref didn't see it. You know, they did that with AJ and he tapped on Joe's shoulder. The ref didn't see it. The ref was in position. It's not like the ref was like the ref is
looking right at his shoulder.
Staring at it and still like called it. It was like, wait, what? Like, what are you doing?
Listen, sometimes referees miss things. Okay. Listen, New Orleans, you can't sit there and blame the refs all the time. Sometimes you just have to move on. Okay. One thing doesn't change the result of everything.
So you're saying you're okay then with Joe?
Not in the slightest. This is a robbery. I'm filing a petition to the commissioner and this should be overturned and they should replay from the exact moment that the bad call happened.
All right. So let's thank our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger or a podcaster, or you're just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a FreeSite Builder, hands-on the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code, save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what you lose, check out HostGator.com and take a bite at every web hosting cost. Also, make sure you check out Section 86's Off the Mark page and click on the banner at the top to say big on items from WWEShop.com. Well, we got to talk about it because it's going to happen here in a few days. All Elite Wrestling is going to have their pay-per-view. Aaron, so what is the name of this pay-per-view?
Yeah, so we have a Double or Nothing happening in Las Vegas. There's a lot of rumors that they're going to do a All-In 2 as well back in Chicago, which could be kind of fun if they do that. But for our monthly topic for All Elite, we want to talk about kind of a little bit of speculation, but also kind of facts that are currently out there right now, because they're very much poised to be the number two promotion in wrestling for the U.S. They'll be above TNA or Impact. They'll be above Ring of Honor. They have a chance of doing some really great things. And they have, I think, kind of a pretty good cast of characters already to start off with. Of course, we have Cody, Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks, Jericho, Pac, formerly known as Neville, Christopher Daniels, Kazarian, Phoenix, Pentagon Jr., and they have a bunch of other ones too, some stars from Lucha Underground and Ring of Honor and everything. So Doug, I know you are a huge fan of Omega and the Bucks and everything. What are your thoughts so far? Just, I mean, they haven't really put on a show, the first AEW show is this weekend. What are your thoughts going into it?
Well, I guess you say the first official one. You could still say All In was their first show, but under the AEW brand, this is their first show. I'm excited for it. I don't think this will be their best show. I can't wait to see what they do now that they have a TV deal in place, what they do for pay-per-views or events going forward. But this is going to be your wrestling enjoyment. If you're a fan of the moves and the wrestling, AEW is going to be your thing to watch. If you're into the storylines and botched endings and
McMahon drama,
right? A little family drama and changing the script, an hour before the match. Then watch WWE. This is going to be thought out. They're going to, they have plans. I'm sure they're going to have some backup plans. I'm always scared that, things are going to get to a shaky start, but when you have these names, and I know they're going to also bring in some people that you probably never even heard of and build them up, I have faith in this group. I think that they are going to put themselves in great matches, and I don't think they're going to just hog the titles. I don't think this is going to be like a Kevin Nash booking kind of thing. So I'm excited for it.
And Andy, what about you?
I'm not sure what's going to happen. Like other people have tried to, you know, like with TNA, they've been around for so long. And yes, they have, as everyone has heard before, the rumors are they've had money problems or this or that. But even when I think Impact was doing great, they had great matches. Power, because I think at one point they had some great stars. I'm just not sure what to think, because the hardcore wrestling fans will come and see this. But I think the reason why All In really was successful is because it was the entire weekend thing. But if this starts to be a common thing where, like, let's say they do it every quarter, they have a pay-per-view, I think that then maybe it won't be a special, because then what? Like, I guess you don't want to, what's the right wording for this? I guess you don't want to, like, put it out there so much, like, oh, hey, I can go, you know, I can't make it to Vegas, but they're going to be in Philly, you know, in like 6 months. I'll just go see that show. But, and I think that's why All In was so special, because they said they're going to do this. That's it. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, now we're going to do Double or Nothing and we're forming AEW. But what's going to happen? I really have to see the show and see when they're going to air on TNT and when, how the show's going to be done. Also, we've already seen problems with Pac and Hangman because of creative differences. So what is that? Is that going to be a common thing that goes forward? Because I think they've handled it decent, but what if Pac decides, no, I don't want to be a part of this. Is he going to get out of his contract? You know, one of those things. So I think the first 3 months will tell us exactly what's going to happen. So I think it's so early right now. We just have to wait and see, but that's what I think about All Elite Wrestling right now. I hope everything works out, because it'd be nice to have them to be the number two, but then where do you put Ring of Honor and Impact? And does Impact stay around? So.
Well, Ring of Honor's been, I think, on a very like slow decline. I think that they will, they're even right now, before AEW even does an official show, I think they're the clear number four at this point. They just have gone downhill, unfortunately. Roger, you have 3 hours of Raw, you have 2 hours of SmackDown, an hour of NXT, you have an hour of Ring of Honor, 2 hours of TNA, pay-per-view might be at the end there. Let's say, AEW is 2 hours on Tuesdays, right? Let's just say. And you have maybe 3 hours a week that you're allowed to watch wrestling, right? Because we're all busy. What do you watch?
I mean, I think that's so first off, let me reframe this question. Oftentimes you always hear companies talk about, oh, we're competing against wrestling companies. You're not competing against wrestling companies. You're competing against television. If, you know, there's a certain amount of time that we all have as free time that we're willing to watch, whether it be, you know, Netflix or Hulu or whatever streaming thing we want. So if you want to get my eyeballs on the television, you don't just need to be better than Raw, because being better than Raw means you're better than Trash Can. You need to find a reason that I don't watch the other thing that I would rather watch and come watch you. And that, to me, like, NXT has goodwill built in, right? They've put on 5 years worth of quality shows. The decline in Ring of Honor directly coincides with NXT arriving. Like, you look at all their stars, and they took off and jumped ship because they're in NXT now. All of a sudden, Ring of Honor's got Matt Taven as the heavyweight champion. And you've got them. I mean, they just, right, they're depleted. Like, all those guys like Adam Cole and Reed Dragon and all those guys who would probably still be in Ring of Honor right now are killing in NXT. So it's like Ring of Honor's probably on its last legs. I think Impact is dead in the water. Maybe they don't know it yet, much like Al Davis in his last years. Like, the signal just hasn't gotten all the way to the top, but they're done. Like, they will never again be the WCW replacement they once tried to be. AEW is interesting because, on the one hand, I'm like, yeah, it's going to be really fun. It's going to have good matches and a lot of things, what Doug said. But to that point, I already get that in NXT. So what do you actually offer that's different than NXT? Because the production values of NXT, I know, are fantastic because of the WWE banner. Are your production values going to be as good? Also, I like those guys. There's one of those guys who's a household name, and that's Chris Jericho. And I would not put him in the household name as The Rock, Stone Cold, Brock Lesnar, guys that if my mom walks in, she knows who that is. She doesn't know who Chris Jericho is. She doesn't know who Kenny Omega is. And none of those guys, I hate to say it, and this is such a Kevin Nash thing to say, but they don't look like stars. They don't look like guys who jump off the page and you're like, oh, if The Rock comes on TV, you don't know who it is. My wife will be like, who the heck is that? Because he looks like a megastar. They're not there yet. And they can build, and that's totally fine. But people are jumping into these unbelievable expectations of, oh, it's the next WCW. You're not going to put WWE out of business. I'm like, you guys need to kill that noise. Like, this isn't 99 anymore. The WWE just got $250 million from Saudi Arabia and another $250 million from Fox. They're fine. They're like thinking that the XFL is going to take out the NFL. This is the monolith. They're on SportsCenter. Like, when they come to town for WrestleMania, they take over the city. Then there's nothing about them that's going away. So you need to understand that you are the clear number two at best. And I don't even know if they are the number two right now, because if NJPW expands into the U.S., they've got more star power built in, I think, than AEW probably does. And what do you do that I can't get somewhere else? Great wrestling just means you're on par with NXT. If you can do better storylines than WWE, that's great. But can you do better storylines than NXT and WWE? And, you know, who do you have that makes me go, oh, I need to watch? Because those guys can put on great matches, but sooner or later, we're going to see all the matches 6 months later. So you better be able to develop and sign and get new people. I don't know. Like, I think it's a great idea. I'm all for them doing it, but it might be 3 or 4 years before this really pays off. And can they last 3 to 4 years being the four?
So what I'm hearing from you is that if you had 5 hours, you'd watch Raw 2.5 times.
Okay, so let me be very clear on this. If I had 5 hours, I would watch NXT, and then I would watch NXT UK, and then I would probably give AEW a look, probably for an hour, and then I would maybe look at SmackDown Live. I would delete Impact from my television. I won't even watch Raw if you paid me to watch it, because it's so bad right now. The only thing about Raw that's 24/7 is that I don't watch it. No.
So it's interesting. I actually share like almost all your guys' thoughts, like, you know, in a amalgamation sort of way. Like, I think one of the biggest challenges that they are going to have is that indie wrestling is very hot right now. And Omega and the Bucks and Cody have done a pretty good job of getting that YouTube crowd really energetic and energized about what they're doing. And so I think that they could get some decent numbers. And depending on the type of storylines that they're going for, they could get people excited about the product. However, though, there's a lot of alternatives that are out there. WWE is on USA, a major network. They're on TNT, a major network. That's great. Ring of Honor is on some Sinclair stations at like 3 a.m. on Saturdays. So you don't really have to worry about them. Impact, they're on Pop, are they still? Or
no, they're on Pursuit TV or Twitch. Yeah, so
I don't even know how to get that.
Yeah, they have moved so much that, I mean, it's hard to keep up with them. So you don't really have to worry about them. NJPW is on Access, which, you know, that's like the top tier for your cable if you want to see them. So I think that AEW has a very good chance to be clear number two, and like by a long shot, you know, number two, but they'll also be a distant number two. I think that's the thing. WWE being number one, they're going to be out. You know, they won't see AEW in the rearview mirror. And same thing with AEW. They probably won't see Ring of Honor or Impact or even NJPW, I don't think, in their rearview. I think they'll be the clear number two. That's my thought. I think that the biggest problem, and like Roger had said, is that you don't have clear stars. You have people that, like, we know who Kenny Omega is. We know that he is a five-star machine. We know that he is going to do amazing things in the ring. He's probably not going to do that week in and week out, right? It's going to be like major matches. Hopefully they don't oversaturate the market with him. They don't, you know, overexpose him. You don't really want to do that. You know, depending on the type of route that they go, where it's supposed to be old school wrestling, that's cool and all. But if it's just, you know, WWE has a good balance of segment match, you know, which is what you're supposed to do. And if they're thinking about doing like, hey, we're just going to do straight matches, well, that can get boring. You know, I love tournaments, but you know, when it's just like, you know, we're going to have 6 matches in a row, it can get kind of boring fairly quickly. So I think AEW has a chance, but I also could see it being a spectacular failure too. I mean, and that's the thing I'm a little afraid of. You know, I'll reserve judgment when the first match happens.
I'm sure we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about the week of shows that they had done, and it could be really great. And I might change my tune, but right now I'm cautiously optimistic about what they're going to provide us in the fall.
And you made a great point about TNA, and Paul Heyman made the same point years ago about, I think when Kurt Angle came in and they were talking about, they were building Samoa Joe as the guy, you know, he was, and they were like, if Samoa Joe is the guy you're going to get behind, where was the media tour? Where was the press release? Where were the things that made him a main, like Stone Cold Steve Austin didn't just become a household name overnight. They put him in Celebrity Deathmatch. He was doing commercials. I remember him being in TV shows like Nash Bridges and us. Stone Cold was everywhere. When we went to school, you would see Stone Cold shirts. When you turned on the television, you would see Stone Cold everywhere. TNA never did that. They never pushed their guys as anything more than what they were. So unless you already knew about them, so that's why they had to bring in Hogan and Flair and Foley and Sting, they never pushed them that far. Is AEW going to be able to put, and who do you put? Because Chris Jericho's what, 46, I want to say?
I think he's 48 now.
48. He's not the guy that you can push as the future going forward. So who is the guy that you are going to say is the guy who is the flagship and the megastar? You don't have a Goldberg coming around the corner. You don't have a Stone Cold coming around the corner. You don't have a John Cena. Who is going to be the guy that you say, hey, we're going to make him the face of our company, and people are going to tune in, and when casuals walk in, they go, oh, I know that guy. I want to give this promotion a try. Because if you don't have that, I don't see how you ever break that ceiling. And to Aaron's point, I don't think you run away from NJPW. I don't think you can run away from Ring of Honor. I think you'll simply be nothing more than a bunch of twos all chasing each other while the number one sits way on the throne, because none of you have – the one thing they all have in common is lack of star power. When Chris Jericho – who I like is by far your biggest star, that tells you just don't have enough stars. You need multiple stars, and you need somebody who's like, hey, I want to get eyeballs into this television, and they don't have that right now. TNT, it worked in, what, 93, because they took Hogan and Savage and Flair and guys who were names that you already knew. So when I turned it on, I was like, oh, I know them from WWF. When they lost all those guys, I think we all remember WCW 2000. How well did that go for them?
Yeah, that was a fun time. But yeah, and it's not like I want to crap on them or anything. I just, you know, like the hardcore, like NXT, I think the real reason why they sell NXT out is because, you know, five times a year, you know, it's going to be, you're going to have that travel package, if you want to say that. Everything's going to be combined. And yeah, they might be able to get away with it, but NXT is supplemented because then you have the indie show, if you want to call it that, even though I don't think it is. But you have that, you know, with AEW, are they going to be able to supplement that portion of it? And that's what I went. So if they say that, hey, we're going to start on in August. OK, great. Then we'll have to wait and see and until that happens. And I would love to revisit this in 3 months after they've been on TNT for a while to see how things are going, to see what the ratings are on it. See what, you know, the fan reaction opposed, you know, like. Because what if they put out the, like, when you say old school, the first thing I have that that one guy, and then you have the jobber that just sits there and sells and sells and sells. That's what when I think of old school, at least. So I hope that's not what they're planning on doing. And I would laugh if that's what they end up doing, but I don't think they will. But you made one good point. Omega can go out every week and put out 5-star matches because he'll go out and wrestle, you know, at the big show, like, you know, 8-9 times a year, and yeah, he'll put up that 5-star, but if he's wrestling, you know, 52 weeks plus the shows, eventually he's not going to be able to pull that 5-star match off, and I think that's when you'll have people start crapping on the product. So I really want to see them succeed. I want to see how things progress also. So I just hope it all works out.
This and I hear everybody's fears, and I guess I'm going to be the optimist here. I have the highest hope for them. I think that they do have a wonderful business plan set, and they have the money to back it, which is the biggest thing. This is going to be a purist show. They're going to be all about the wrestling with a little bit of fun. Cause we know that they can be elite on the podcast and on the YouTube. They have that. They're still going to do that. They can develop storylines and have some funny moments here, and they'll have their serious moments here and there. And the tag matches with Phoenix and Pentagon, who have put on some amazing matches. Definitely check them out if you have not already. This is going to be amazing wrestling. If I have anything to fear from this, it's TNT. And some of the stuff that we kind of boo on for WWE, I know it's not necessarily in their control. Just like the wild card thing, I think that was the big compromise between the Fox and NBC with USA and trying to get their top stars on their show so that they get the money or the viewership. What is TNT going to do for AEW? What are they going to allow? Are they going to allow Joey Ryan's penis caravan to come back and get him to rise again? What are they going to allow? Was that more of a gimmick thing of just doing it on your house show thing, but we're not going to allow that on actual television? What are they going to have to give up to be on TV? That's my biggest concern. But if they can, I mean, you think about it, there really wasn't, unless you watched Being the Elite, All In was just matches. You paid attention to even just the minimal amount of All the Elite, and you saw some storylines come to in a one-time event. Actual storylines being all ended up in a one-time event. I think they have the story writing capabilities. I think they have some great people in place. The business plan to have partners with other groups. I would not be surprised to see AEW team up with New Japan Wrestling eventually. I wouldn't be surprised to see more Ring of Honor in AEW, and a little bit of a, you know, here you can go here, you can go there and do that. While they still want to have people stay with AEW, their contracts don't limit them to just being there. Lucha Underground is also one of them that they've sort of teamed with, or AAA. And that's where I think you're going to get some freshness in that aspect of, you're going to have a constant fluctuation of rosters because they're going to be able to pull from here, pull from there, and you're going to see new people, new storylines, and new and people won't become stale and everything like that. But you're still going to have your mainstays, which are going to be Cody, the Young Bucks, Omega, Jericho for what I think he signed a 3-year deal with them. But you're still going to get the constant flow, and with everything that they have set up, the business plan and the money aspect, you've seen the people that want to leave WWE just so that they could just be, I mean, they see the contracts aspects. Cody even said that they won't hire what I think they only are interested in maybe 5% of the WWE roster right now. Whether that's just a, you know, kind of a shoot or a work, who knows, but I am very interested in seeing what they're going to do. I'm 5% sure that this weekend is going to be a phenomenal show. I just hope that I'll be able to watch it sometime. I'm going to be very busy this weekend though, so I have high hopes.
So that's all the time we have for this month's show. If you're into the Twitter, you follow the show at AuthMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And for Doug Hahn, Roger Cave, and Aaron Hughes, I am Andrew Hughes. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.